tweet at todaysor.
As lots of you have been doing and texting to 51551, Doreen says, my son got the points, is qualified for 2 years and still can't get a job teaching. Mary in Dublin says, with respect to the minister, he hasn't a clue about the requirements that make for a good primary teacher. I can guarantee you if higher maths were required when I and a lot of my colleagues were applying for teaching, we wouldn't have gotten there. And we were all damn good teachers, says Mary. Frank says, teacher salaries have been slashed in the last 5 years. New entrants have been particularly targeted. If the minister wants more male teachers with honours maths, this has to be seriously rectified. Keith in County Clare, the arrogance of this minister is unbelievable. He has had 3 years in office to negotiate with the teachers and suddenly he appears from on high and says, this is what I want. I don't think the minister would quite agree with that explanation or analysis. But anyway, another caller, Pat, says the minister should not be given airtime to defend what he said yesterday. He shouldn't have made those remarks about maths and women. He knew exactly what he was doing. I think the minister more than clarified what he was saying or trying to say, as he actually admitted. And last word on this, Sean in Tala, these teachers are not setting a good example for their students. We all must respect authority. Well, up to a point, I suppose you might say. Now, more needs to be done to target the problem of long-term unemployment in Ireland, which remains unacceptably high. That's according to the Organisation for Economic Cooperation and Development in its review published yesterday of the Irish Government's Action Plan for Jobs. We'll be talking about some of those issues raised by the OECD shortly. But first, Paddy O'Gorman is with me. Paddy, I said you're in Kilkenny. You're not in Kilkenny, but you were in Kilkenny.
I was in Kilkenny, yes. It's a big dole office there. After I saw the OECD report yesterday, I said I'll make use of that dole office because it suits me. It's a regional one. It's got a big pedestrianised area and it's a fine day and people will stop and talk. People come from all around now to these modern integrated services, the community welfare services there, the training schemes on offer and so on are there. And people actually have to travel quite a bit, generally once a month to sign on. I met a man there from Clock who had hitchhiked in, somebody I'd known from before a long time ago. People come from all around Tipperary, Kilkenny, generally to turn up. So there's long queues, but they generally move fairly quickly now because everybody has a swipe card in the modernised system. And I was asking people, are you optimistic, pessimistic about job prospects? And it's fair to say there's quite a mixture. There are people who are somewhat more optimistic than would have been, others who are not. But I found particularly a lot of middle-aged men who don't expect to work again, such as this man.
There isn't really jobs. I'm not looking now because I'm 57 and I'm on disability, but I have a son who's in Belgium because he couldn't get work in Ireland. I have a daughter who's in Australia because she couldn't get work, and both are after finishing university, you know.
You say you have a disability. You look well to me.
Well, depression and things like that. Alcohol induced, I suppose. Like, I'm an alcoholic and I got the disability, but I'm off it now.
Well, off the drink, is it?
Yeah, well, I relapsed, but now I'm off for 6 months.
Right.
And I have a third son in Maynooth studying, and it'll look like he's going to emigrate too.
Did you emigrate yourself in your time?
Yeah, in 88, yeah. I went to New York. I was in Queens. I was working on the buildings, carpentry, well, so-called carpenter. Mm-hmm. You know, an Aer Lingus carpenter. Did you ever hear that? No, you get on the plane in Ireland, Aer Lingus, and you're nothing. You get off in America and you're a carpenter.
Right.
So it's an Aer Lingus carpenter.
And I'm guessing you probably didn't have the right visa either, most of us.
No, it was illegal. Mm-hmm. What happened was Mary and I came home, mm-hmm. And the two kids. We came home to a funeral. Mary's granny died. And when we were going back in Shannon, we got stopped. And we were banned for 10 years. That was it.
They used to have immigration in Shannon then.
Yeah, they had. And at the time we were applying for the Morrison visas. They were actually giving them out, you know. Mm-hmm. And we were in the process, but we never got back. And other than that, I'd be still there. Yeah. And it all ended. Then I started the business of making hurdles.
And you're doing that still, are you?
Me and Mary broke up and the kids are grown up.
And is life better or worse since you're off drink?
Much better, mm-hmm. Much better. But you're never safe. I've been in treatment in Atai and I accept that I can never drink again. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, you can have a drink and wake up the next day and you're fine. But if I have a drink, you know, the longing and the craving kicks in. So I can never touch it again.
So you're off it how long now?
6 months.
What made you decide that it was time to stop drinking?
Oh, I had no choice, really, you know. Like, me and Mary broke up, and I suppose the kids growing up, you miss them. And, mm-hmm. and drink kicked in, and it just took over. And in the end, I was powerless over drink.
Yeah. The drinking became heavier after your breakup, is it?
Yeah, it did. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was the way of just numbing the feelings and all that.
Did the drinking contribute to the breakup?
I don't know. I was asked that now by different counsellors, and I don't know which came first, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't know, but the breakup didn't help.
So how do you keep your day busy now then, and staying away from drink? And
well, I'm down in Watford, and, you know, I train kids. That's 3 days a week, and I read. Mm-hmm. I read, and I go out to Tramore, and I run a bit, and, you know, so far I have things to do, you know?
So that's that man there, Paddy. An interesting story. He used an interesting phrase. I hadn't come across it before. Maybe you have, Paddy. An Aer Lingus carpenter.
That's right. I remember. I have stuff in archives from New York and from Boston in the late 80s. And I remember standing outside an Irish bakery in Bainbridge Avenue in the North Bronx, and I'm asking the fellow, "And are you a carpenter?" "Well," he says, if they want a carpenter today, I'm a carpenter. I'll be a bricklayer tomorrow." That we just used to pretend. I say we, the Irish building workers, simply pretended. It was that sort of time. You got away with everything. But that man really brings it all back. The generation, his generation went to New York illegally. The modern generation, his three children, all graduates, going to do it, you know, in a much different way. But yeah, immigration like is still there.
It's a cycle that goes round.
It is.
Now, you met another woman who is, I suppose, you know, she's got a lot of experience of life.
Yes, this woman is 64 on a pre-retirement course. Very interesting to talk to people of her age, because she left school young and she's catching up with her education many years later.
I'm living with my partner, which was a lorry driver in his time, but got cancer. But he's doing very, very well at the moment. He's fully free of cancer at the moment now. It's very good. James is in Kilkenny, like, done it. Yeah. And he's on invalidity at the moment, because I wouldn't go back to work anymore. And they cut my money then. I was getting 188, so they cut it down to 134. But they asked me, did I want to appeal it? But I said, no way, like, because this is the way life is, you know. So I also buried my ex-husband as well. And I suppose I'm very lucky to be the way I am, and I'm happy. But I don't think there's any point in fighting the government for anything. Like, you know, we got our council house and we're very happy with that.
And what did you work at then?
I worked for years in Kieran's College in Kilkenny. Since I was 14, I was sent out to work. And I worked there for years and years and years in that. I never saw secondary school. I was just put out to work. Yeah. I was getting £16 a month. Some had to be sent home and then some for yourself. I used to keep some for the Mayfair. I used to love dancing. I love the bands. I still do.
You used to keep some for the what?
The Mayfair Ballroom in Kilkenny. Yeah,
all right.
That's where I loved. Yeah. Big Tom and all my bands, and Larry Cunningham, and still love all them. And we didn't even have the price of a mineral, so there was no drink involved with us at all. Yeah. We just had a crack and enjoyed the night. And
did you meet your husband there at the Mayfair?
Yeah, I did, yeah. Right. Met him at the Mayfair, yeah.
But it didn't last anyway.
It lasted long enough, sure. He had 5 grown-up sons now, sure. I should have left younger when I had my first child, but I didn't. Because I thought things would get better and better all the time, and, you know, wife beat her. I had to go her.
Was it drink-related, or was it...?
Drink-related, yeah. Mm. Best in the world otherwise, but drink-related, yeah. Mm. It's just drink.
Are you long a separated person then?
Or? I'm separated about 11 years, I think, now, but very happy to have been separated. Mm-hmm. Like, I still have good feelings about him, like, you know, and he's gone now and to his internal rest, so... Happy enough, yeah.
Sadder and wiser, Paddy.
Yes.
And interesting, I suppose, how couples can often lose money when one person gets a changed payment.
That's right. That's right. These poverty traps that the Department of Social Protection yesterday was saying, oh, they've been addressed. Well, perhaps they have, but they're still very, very strong. That and this is the next couple that. That I met. Now, a young couple, and actually they were both quite optimistic about their job prospects. They hadn't been too long unemployed. But one of the things that she was addressing was the JobBridge programme, which she thought she wouldn't be able to take one of those jobs.
All there is internships, whereas, see, I'm living on my own. So I have bills to pay, and that isn't going to cover my rent, my bills, everything like that either, like with just an extra 50 euro for 39 hours a week.
This is the job bridge scheme, isn't it? The extra 50
yeah.
euro.
If I went with one, it wouldn't cover my bills, buses. My income, and buses in and out, because I don't drive.
And are you two a couple, are you?
Yeah, yeah. But we're engaged, like.
Will you be able to afford to get married?
We have no deadline, like, so it could be however many years, like, and that we just. Right. It's just costing for a wedding as well. It's very expensive. Pricey. We can't afford that being on social welfare.
You actually live on your own then? Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
If two of us on the dole, we moved in together, if I got a full-time job over, just say, 400 a week, she get no dole at all. So that's why we don't do that.
So you live separately?
Yeah, because then the rent, like, and that, like, what I'm paying at the moment is 115, and I get 58 rent allowance, sorry. If he'd get a full-time job and moved in with me, I'd lose the rent allowance, I'd lose everything,
You couldn't live together if one person's on the dole and one person's working. So you're 2 on the dole, or 2 work, so you can't do it the other way, it doesn't work.
And you've no children?
No, because, like, you can't bring in a child into this world in social welfare.
If you're on social welfare now and you want to bring your child somewhere, you don't have the money to go somewhere, like...
Yeah. You're just not financially stable.
An awful lot of people do bring children into the world on social welfare.
Yeah, oh yeah, like, I'm not dissing against that or anything like that, but for me anyway, that's how I feel about it.
So those people there talking to Paddy O'Gorman yesterday in Kilkenny. Joining me now, Breed O'Brien, Head of Policy Media at the Irish National Organisation for the Unemployed. Breed, we'll talk in a minute about this report by the OECD yesterday, but just that last point made by that couple, that it's either two of you on the dole or two of you working. Otherwise, there are traps that cause you to lose your benefits.
Yeah, the issues really arise for people if they're in receipt of rent supplement. And that's where the difficulty arises. Now, people need to bear in mind that less than 12% of people in receipt of a job seeker's payment are actually in receipt of rent supplement. But if you are, it can throw up issues for you because once you go back to work, there's a certain income disregard, but after that, then you have to be able to cover the rent. And depending on the nature of the work available, how secure it is, it can leave people, having a sense that they've been asked to jump off a cliff and not too sure how far down the ground is.
Now, yesterday, as we know, the OECD showed up praising the Coalition Jobs Plan, the Action Plan for Jobs, and but saying as well, though, that there's not enough being done for people who are long-term unemployed, and also having questions about Jobbridge. But they seem to be saying as well, according to reports, that high levels of social welfare payment are deterring people from going back to work. Or at least that's how it's been reported.
Yeah, that's not actually in the report, because I went back and looked in the report. I think that is in response to maybe a question put at the press conference from certain elements of the media, because I went back and checked and I couldn't find it anywhere. The reality is that the vast majority of people who are in receipt of a job seeker's payment are claiming only for themselves. And so therefore, nearly everybody who is in receipt of job seekers payment would be better off in work. The problem is, though Ireland is now beginning to create jobs again, we're not creating enough of them, and we're not creating enough of them with a wide enough geographical spread or indeed sectoral spread. So regrettably, there are a lot of people who are unemployed who would not be able to take up the jobs that are on offer. So what we need are more education training programs that will give people the right skill sets. But we also have issues in the labour market we need to address. Like, a lot of older unemployed people have contacted us recently to say they have the experience, they have the skill set, but they're not getting a look in because of their age. So we've a range of issues facing us that we need to tackle and need to start to address better.
What do you make of their suggestion, Breed, that the Jobbridge, that's the state-backed national work experience scheme, is too, as they put it, large and expensive, and saying that it's not targeted enough specifically at the most disadvantaged groups?
Again, Jobbridge was introduced in particular to give not only young people but older unemployed, maybe trying to get back into the labour market, to give people the chance, you know, to get work experience. The difficulty with it, we feel, is that the spread of jobs within it is too broad, and that there's actual jobs in there rather than internships, and so that needs to be addressed. As the economy picks up, yes, your support should be targeted at those who are more distanced from the labour market. But then that requires maybe additional supports for people if either they've never worked before or if they're particularly distanced or have been out of work a long time and their skills are not at a level that they would need to be. So then you'd need to put in additional supports into a scheme like Jobbridge to make sure when people go on it that they can get the most out of it, and that it will indeed help them be able to get into a job either with the employer they're with or with another employer. So in fact, if you're going to target schemes at those who are most disadvantaged, you need to put in more resources to make sure it is indeed a meaningful scheme for that person.
Breed O'Brien, Head of Policy Media with the Irish National Organisation for the Unemployed. Thanks for joining us.